Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. And you can find this on page 919 of the Good News Bible. Zechariah speaks of the future king and the restoration of God's people. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Lord says, I will remove the war chariots from Israel and take the horses from Jerusalem. The bows used in battle will be destroyed. Your king will make peace among the nations. He will rule from sea to sea, from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. The Lord says, because of my covenant with you, that was sealed by the blood of sacrifices, I will set your people free, free from the waterless pit of exile. Return, you exiles who now have hope. Return to your place of safety. I tell you now, I will repay you twice over with blessing for all you have suffered. I will use Judah like a soldier's bow, and Israel like the arrows. I will use the men of Zion like a sword to fight the men of Greece. Our second reading comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. And you can find this on page 61 of the Good News Bible. Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem, near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you why you are doing that, tell him that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the bystanders let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the fields and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our father. Praise God." Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked round at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Our final reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. And you can find this on page 325. The Rider on the White Horse. Then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. It is with justice that he judges and fights his battles. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and he wore many crowns on his head. He had a name written on him, but no one except himself knows what it is. The robe he wore was covered with blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven followed him, riding on white horses and dressed in clean white linen. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword with which he will defeat the nations. He will rule over them with a rod of iron, and he will trample out the wine in the winepress of the furious anger of the Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh was written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the word of the Lord.
The other morning, I was lying in my bed daydreaming, and I started daydreaming about what if, when the disciples went to see the man with the donkey, he turned round and said to him, "No, he can't have it. Jesus can't have the donkey." What would that mean? There would not have been a triumph entry into Jerusalem with Jesus riding on the back of a donkey, with all the people shouting out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What if Jesus had not betrayed Jesus? What if Judas had not betrayed Jesus? There would not have been a trial, and Jesus would have not been condemned to death, or would there? I think the Pharisees would have found another way, if they possibly could, to capture Jesus. What if Jesus had not died on that cross? There could be no way for man to return to God. For Jesus clearly states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the only way that can happen is through Jesus dying on that cross. My thoughts carried on wandering. What if, when the women got to the tomb, the stone was still in place? He had not been rolled away. That would have shown that Jesus was not who he said he was, the Son of God, but just an ordinary man. Without the stone being rolled away, man would not have been able to see into the tomb and see that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, that he had ridden and he had departed. Some years ago, a friend of mine was telling me that even the grave clothes in that tomb were there for a reason. Do you remember the napkin was taken apart and it was neatly folded? He told me that in a Jewish feast or a Jewish meal, you crunch your napkin up until the end of the meal. And then to show that the meal was finished and everything was done, you then neatly folded your napkin and put it by the side of your plate. So even that napkin being neatly folded showed that Jesus had done his work It was complete. It was finished. Jesus was risen. Jesus was alive. And the last what if I thought before I came out my daydream was, what if the two men on the road to Emmaus had let Jesus go on his way when he said, I go on? If they had not invited him into that inn, they would have had a very interesting conversation with a complete stranger as they walked along the road to Emmaus. They would probably have been content. They probably would have enjoyed the conversation and seen what the man had said. But they did invite him in, and it changed their lives. They understood who he was, and it made sense of all the things that he'd been talking to them on the road as he spoke to them about the scriptures. And what did they do? They straight away began to witness to the fact and the reality that Jesus had risen. I wonder, have you over this Easter time invited Jesus into your lives? Or have you just let him go on his way and carried on your life as it was? If any of those what ifs had happened, there would be no Easter. And the last couple of weeks would have just been ordinary weeks, no different to any other week in the year. Things wouldn't have changed. We would not be here today, would we, in this church, because there would be no Christian church. Because if Jesus isn't alive with God, there's no point in the Christian religion. What's the point of worshipping somebody who's dead? But Jesus and Easter did happen. They did happen. There was no what or if about it. Not only did it happen as the Bible said it would, we can see how it was planned. Jesus was planning for this week for 3 years, from the time of his baptism. But if you read Revelation 13 verse 8, you will find something fantastic. You'll find some fantastic news. You will see that it was planned from before the time was. In Revelation 13 we read, the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. That's when Easter was planned from, before the creation of the world. God made this preparation, this plan, and had it laid down. Right through the Old Testament, you see this theme. In the book of Zechariah that we read, chapter 9 and 9 to 13, we read of the coming of the king into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Way back in the book of Psalms, chapters 22 and 53, we have a graphic description of Christ's crucifixion. If you've never read it, I advise you to read it. It doesn't go through the nuts and bolts of Easter. It just gives you the facts. It gives you the wonderful news of what Christ did for us at Easter. Even before that, there's a wonderful picture given of the Son, as our Son of God, as our Saviour, Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his only son, his one and only son, Isaac. What a thing to God ask him to do. But to cut a long story short, at the 11th hour, God provides a sacrifice in Isaac's place. What a wonderful picture of God providing his own son in our place to die on that cross, so that we did not suffer from our sins. What a wonderful, wonderful picture we have there. But that's not the end. In the book written by Dr. A.C. Dixon, entitled The Glories of the Cross, he gives this description of a sunrise. stand on a hilltop and watch the coming dawn. First the grey mists in the east, and then the brighter light until the full orbit of the sun arises. I'm sure we've all stood and marvelled at a sunrise, the beauty of it, the power of it, the wonder of it. But he doesn't leave it there. He carries on to describe the story of Easter being just like that. Right through the Old Testament, we have this glorious view. The grey mists at the start shows the entry of sin into this world, the darkness, the gloom, the dim light. Then the first gleam of light as Abel sacrifices on the altar the blood of a lamb. The light now starts to shine brighter. It comes brighter as you read the story of the children of Israel in the desert from there when they escape from Egypt. Blood is sprinkled on the doorposts and across the lintel, the sign of Christ's sacrifice for us. It shines brighter still as you read of the sacrifice of the tabernacle, and especially the uplifting serpent of brass, that if the children of Israel wanted to live, they had to look on it. It was their choice. They could look and live, or turn away and die. Till you see the full orbit of the sun. In fact, the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Jewish feast of Passover. Easter was the format of all those scriptures. Jesus came, starting in the gloom, before time was, Easter was planned. As you look at the story of Easter, you'll find it is written into almost every page of the Old Testament. There was no what if in the Old Testament story. It could not have been any other way. God had planned it for Easter. Our speaker at Ponders End Easter asked us a question. How many of you have done a jigsaw puzzle and found when you've finished it, there's one piece missing? So annoying, isn't it? That one piece missing. You can visualise what the picture looks like, but with that piece missing, the picture, the puzzle, is complete. Easter's like that. There's a piece of the puzzle still missing. When the ordinary people came out in force to welcome Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, they were watching their king, the king of the Jews, ride into town. They greeted him by throwing their garments down on the road and cutting down palm leaves to wave as he passed by, shouting at Hosanna, "Blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I should imagine a lot of them were a bit surprised, a bit perplexed that he rode into Jerusalem riding not on a large white war horse as a king befits a king, with a large army at his back, but rode into Jerusalem on a donkey with just 12 ordinary men and a group of women with him. You see, normally a king or a general would ride into a city with his troops behind him, mounted on a white war horse, after a great victory, or to show the people of that city their power and their might over their lives. But they saw this king riding in on a donkey in humility. You see, A lot of the people in that crowd that day were looking for a regime change, a king to rid them of the hated Romans. Not a king that would cause a regime change in their lives. One that would save them from their sins. They started the week, didn't they? Calling out Hosanna to the Son of David. And they ended it by shouting out, "Away with him! Crucify him! We would sooner have Barabbas. Let his blood be on us and our children." What a terrible thing to say. Let Jesus' blood be on us. In other words, they were putting a curse on their own people. I said that there is a piece missing from the Easter story. When the Allied troops rode into Jerusalem in the First World War, after they got rid of the Turkish and the German armies, General Allenby rode to the gates of Jerusalem, head of his forces, and he stopped. He got off his horse and he walked into Jerusalem on his feet, followed by his other generals. They all dismounted. He said, "I'm not worthy to ride into Jerusalem on a white horse." He realized there was one greater than him. He could not ride into that city. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered the city in humility, mounting on a donkey, having not yet won his great victory over Satan. That he achieved on the cross on the Good Friday. He hadn't won his victory, so he rode in humility on a donkey. In our reading from Revelation 19, we see that missing piece of the Easter story. It doesn't explain it so well in the Good News Bible. In John's vision, he sees a white warhorse, and mounted on its back is a rider who is called Faithful and True, names which are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the one that John saw mounted on that horse. And he sees the armies of heaven were following him. It doesn't explain it in the Good News Bible, but he was coming to the rescue of Jerusalem. There's a time coming when all the enemies of the Jewish people will be surrounding Jerusalem, if you read Revelation. And they will be fighting for their lives, and they will almost be destroyed. And this is what this incident refers to. Jesus will come riding on his white horse. He will ride into Jerusalem as a king of kings. And he will save the Jewish nation from extinction. He'll also save Christians and others from annihilation. You see, Jesus rode into Jerusalem the first time on a donkey. But when he comes again, he'll ride in on a war horse. And the people will be shouting out, "King of kings and Lord of lords." They won't be looking for just a Jewish king to save them from the Romans. They'll be looking at the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You see, when that last piece of the Easter story is put into place, the Easter story will be complete. And there'll be a new story will be starting after that. Far, far wonderful. Far, far more powerful. Amen.